First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday on Swift 98, the Spur and the SVI Radio Network. Duke Dance and Aaron Feely here with you, and the voice of the Utah Jazz, Craig Bowlerjack, joining us today as we get towards the end of the regular season in the NBA. Craig, it's good to have you back on the Wyoming airwaves, my friend.
Yeah, Duke, it's great. Thanks for the invitation. Aaron, how are you guys? It's almost 82 in the books. It's hard to believe it's gone a little slow at the top, but it's gone really fast since the All-Star break.
Well, it's been a season of something for the Utah Jazz, right? I mean, you come into this season with some pretty low expectations. They get this roster that's kind of flung together, and there's been some pretty fun moments this season for Jazz fans, I think, as they look back over this thing. And I think people kind of liked this team, even though they're kind of on the outside looking in right now.
Yeah, I think they've done a marvelous job, guys, honestly, putting this team together and the attitude they have each and every night. You trade two all-stars and you just kind of shake your head thinking what's the near future going to be. You know, I remember we talked before the season started in September about, maybe 20 wins. How do you keep the fans engaged? What do we do as a broadcast team to try to engage players and the fan base? And then it's really miraculously took care of itself. And you have to tip your hat to the rookie head coach, Will Hardy, and just the whole attitude he brought. A little Popovich there, I do believe, in his 11 years with San Antonio. And expectations to fight and try to win and be gritty on every night. That's exactly what they've done. And then just before the trade deadline, you move Mike Conley, you move Malik, who was part of the offseason trade, and along with Vanderbilt and Nikhil Alexander Walker, and you bring in new faces, and you thought, well, now here's the dip. Here's where things are really going to take a turn. But honestly, it's just the opposite. It's really intriguing to me in a world of sports that we live and watch today with, high-level played, athletes, that the Jazz have gotten a bunch of guys who whomever wears the jersey goes out and plays and entertains. And I think fans, from everything I've seen this season, they've continued to pack Vivint Arena, guys, which amazes me. And I've been around arenas when rebuilds or, retooling is underway and fans just kind of stay away until the winning comes back. But I've been most impressed with the fan base and the fact they do appreciate the effort that we've seen every night. And the Jazz have been in multiple, 1- and 2-point games, overtime games just a couple of nights back against the Lakers. And I think that's just who they are. They want to win, but they're building the foundation for the future. And that can't go understated, because if you get the word that we're just going to lay down, I think that impacts rookies like Walker Kessler and Ochai Agbaji and others. But they're learning in reality to be a professional and to win at the highest of levels. You have to learn how to win. And I really applaud the Jazz for making that, I think, the most important learning, the lesson this season. And hopefully that's just going to put the Jazz ahead of schedule.
Well, and you kind of talked about the expectations coming into the year were a little bit low, but the team has been gritty and fought hard. The magic number, so to speak, in reverse right now is 1 for Utah, but they're not out yet. So you kind of take a look. Obviously, Oklahoma City, Dallas, they both have 2 games left. Utah has 3. The feeling there with you guys, what is kind of the expectation of hoping to get in there right now versus, if we pull a miracle, we do, then fine, but that's not really what we're thinking about right now.
I think they're going to play each and every night this last half week of the season. I don't think there's any change in attitude. Look, they're missing starters with varied ailments. Also I think they're playing it safe to get to the postseason of all this is to get everybody healthy so they can work out and remain healthy. I don't see anybody laying it down. I really don't over these final few nights on the floor. And again, it goes back to what we said earlier, is that it's kind of who they are. And I do appreciate it, and I think fans do too.
Craig Boulderjack, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz, on the air with us this morning for First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday. So, Craig, regardless of how the next couple games play and whether or not Utah does find themselves in a postseason matchup in a play-in game, what's the hope for this team in the offseason? Maybe what are some pieces? What do they have in play? What do they have to work with to build on this?
Well, I think the foundation points or the foundation of this team is Ochai and Markkanen along with Walker Kessler. I like Chris Dunn. He's getting that second opportunity to restart his career. You know, we've seen a little bit of Luka Šamanić, who just came over and signed another 10-day here soon. And then Talen Horton-Tucker is really intriguing to be put in a position to kind of learn a new position after Mike Conley was traded. And I think the way he's blossomed these last 30 games is impressive. So I think they move forward with these pieces and then invite a few of the other players. Maybe you see Johnny Juzang and Juan Toscano-Anderson and Damian Jones. They'll probably be in camp. And then, you know, the draft picks, Danny has done a marvelous job in the past in Boston putting teams together, title teams. You want a title as a player, won a title as a general manager, and I think this is not just going to be a long, drawn-out process. I think this is going to try to be accomplished much sooner than later. So this draft is deep. Yes, it's important. They could be a top seven, a top nine. He could trade up. He's got 15 picks in his pocket. They've got $60 million in cap that they could use in free agency or to re-sign Jordan Clarkson if that's the direction they want to go. So I think for the first time in a long time, the Jazz are one of the biggest players in the offseason, both in the draft, both if they want to, you know, put pieces together of players and draft picks, and also if they reach out into free agency and find a young player that's maybe ready to make the next step, maybe a team that he wants to call his own after playing in shadows of a lot of guys in this league. So I think the options are there, and I think the foundation, I keep going back to it, but I think every team that excels and has a chance to win the East or the West or a championship down the road, you have to have those foundation pieces, and I think the Jazz are in really good shape in all those categories. I really do.
Well, and you kind of mentioned him earlier, but one of the young building pieces for this team right now, Lauri Markkanen, I actually came from the Chicagoland area. I remember him playing for the Bulls last year. Part of his mandated bit of being a Finnish citizen as well is Finland actually has that mandatory military service that he announced he's going to have to participate in over the off season. Can you kind of take us through where the mindset is right now, first from the fans, then from the team, of if that will have any impact on kind of the off season and working out for the Jazz?
No, I don't think so. I think this is really impressive. I mean, in the United States, man, when you hear that someone's going to go and you know, finish out their duty to country, you know, it's the draft was, you know, pushed aside years ago, and now it's volunteer, but it's something that a smaller country like Finland actually has its citizens actually dive in and become a part of their country's security. And I think it just only makes an individual stronger personally. My dad's a vet during Korea, and I think, you know, you see the pride in a country, and I think for Lowry it'll be the same thing, that, you know, he gets to finish his duty and then gets his mind back to basketball. It's going to be interesting, right? But I think there's a discipline that goes with both, and I think it can only help them. You know, any type of military activity is a disciplined activity, and I think basketball demands that to be at the highest of levels of play. And I remember talking to him this past, you know, early fall, late summer, when he, you know, came aboard, and he felt like he was in his best shape both mentally and physically after the Euro Championships. And he played so well last summer. And I think it's going to be just that same type of mental preparation that he leaves from the military back into the world of basketball. Look, those are two opposite, polar opposites of demands on a person. But I think there's some similarities, too. As I said, I think the mental part of it, to play 82 games, to be a leader of a franchise, only can help Markkanen down the road. He's still a young guy, 6 years in the league. and he should have, you know, 7 to 10 years of high-level play left in him. So I'm looking for good things. He's a good person. He works hard. I think he's coachable. And what he's been able to do, you know, from the Chicago Bulls to the Utah Jazz is develop his game from just a three-point shooter to an individual who can actually drive, finish, a good free-throw shooter, better rebounder than people thought. And he's nearly over 10 points a game better than he was a year ago, and absolutely in the talk for, you know, most improved player in the NBA. So, again, he's that piece that you have to build around. And, you know, there's a few others, but I think he's that main cog in all of it. And I think he'll be a better person when he rolls back in the summer.
Craig Bowler-Jack, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz on the TV broadcast. Craig, thank you for your time. We appreciate your insight, of course, with the game last night against Oklahoma City. Just the West leading Denver Nuggets and then the Los Angeles Lakers to wrap up the season, a team that we just saw loss in overtime against for the Utah Jazz. So still plenty of great basketball left here.
Yeah, absolutely. Two to go. The Lakers in overtime. And, of course, who would win that game is a guy named LeBron as he drove in and scored. But I like the way the Jazz continued to fight. They had that middle little mini 10-0 run to finish out regulation to send it to overtime. You know, I expect the same. Now, who plays against Denver and who plays against the Lakers or who the Lakers and Nuggets put on the floor is anybody's guess this time of year. So, you know, the Jazz could have another win or two in their pocket. And hopefully, even if they don't make the play-in, the bottom line is this, is that if you can finish on a high note, you jump into the off season and come back with, you know, renewed enthusiasm. And obviously you're going to have a couple of new looks, a couple of new players that are going to be on that roster. In fact, probably more than two. You could have 3 to 5, you know, new faces that will be introduced to Jazz Nation when they jump into camp in September. So it's going to be a fun off season. I feel like I say that every year. But in reality, it was intriguing last year when they traded Donovan and Rudy. But this summer, with the draft picks, the salary caps, you know, ability to go out and grab free agents, I think this is going to be a fun summer to watch and see how Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck build this team.
Craig Bowler-Jack, thank you so much, Craig. We appreciate your time.
You bet, guys. Take care.
It's all part of First Bank of Wyoming Sports Friday on SBI Radio.